2FM Mornings
with Laura Fox
Podcast.
Sponsored by Maxall. From kids' lunches to tonight's dinner, you'll find bags more to get you through the week at Maxall.
Now, as we get into the second half of 2025, fans of movie sequels are in for a treat with the return of some huge productions like Avatar and my personal favourite, Downton Abbey. And joining me now to give us an idea of what to expect in the coming months and give us his take on the concept of the sequel culture is culture writer and film TikToker, Bren Murphy. Bren, you're very welcome along to the show this morning.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you because I could talk about movies all day. And that's what I was about to say. The exact same as for you. Sequels are hardly a new concept. And but when did movie studios first start coming up with the idea of doing a sequel?
I mean, they go back way back when to the early days of cinema. Probably the most famous is Bride of Frankenstein.
Okay.
Everyone knows that name.
Yeah.
That was a sequel from the 30s. But they already knew back then that you could cash in on something successful. So King Kong, which was released in 1933, had its sequel released 9 months later, Son of Kong. So they're always cashing in on sequels. They didn't really come into their own until The Godfather.
Okay.
That was the first film to kind of go, here's a part two, and put the number two in the title.
Okay. Cash in, I suppose, is an incredibly good way of describing it, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah.
Do you have to have seen an original movie to connect it with a sequel generally?
I mean, it's good to, but I mean, if you look at something like the Bond films, they all pretty much work as standalone films. But then you have something like that's based on a book series like Harry Potter.
Yeah.
You would be lost if you just jumped into the fourth Harry Potter.
Yeah,
they're so complex. Same with something like Hunger Games or something like that. Generally, horror works. Like there's a lot of Friday the 13th films. You don't need to know much about Friday the 13th 1, 2 or 3 to watch 4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mission Impossible, I'd say, is kind of the same as well.
Exactly.
They all kind of can stand alone. So I suppose it just depends on what the actual franchise is. Do you think that there are cases, and this will be controversial, where the sequel is actually better than the original?
This is one of those movie buffs are always, you know, debating this. And the two films people come up with is Aliens, the sequel to Alien, and maybe Terminator 2, which I think there's an argument for. And that's pretty much down to budget. Terminator 1 was a very low budget film. Terminator 2 blew people away. It had groundbreaking special effects.
Yeah.
It's an amazing film. It's hard to argue with that being better than the original.
They threw the kitchen sink at it because they saw, you know, it worked in the first one, but we can actually make it even better than this again.
Mm.
Is there any point when movie companies need to say stop and just end it? Or can they just not help themselves?
They're never going to end it. It's because it's not just about box office. So we have a new Jurassic Park film out this week,
which I'm very excited about.
Yeah, so am I. I'm very excited. But it's... even if that is a bit of a flop at the box office, it probably won't be.
Yeah.
It's still an excuse to fill the toy shops with new dinosaur toys.
Yeah.
And there's lots of reasons to keep a franchise going outside of the box office. Lord of the Rings had an animated film made last year that was pretty much made so they could maintain the rights over that property. It didn't matter that it didn't make any money. It meant Warner Brothers could hold on to it. So there's lots of weird, smaller reasons why they keep on making new versions of something.
That's mad, isn't it? I never even would have thought of that. I just thought that they'd be trying something new, and here you are bringing us all the information.
Not necessarily, yeah.
It's mad though, because sequels, you know, and especially sequels, like if we look at Jurassic Park, Jurassic Park was the very first movie that I ever saw in the cinema when I was younger. So like, it for me, it holds that thing of I want to go back and stay seeing all of them over and over again, because there's just this, like, you know, warm connection to
exactly
them.
And that's why I'm excited about the new one, because it's shot on 35mm film.
Yeah.
So it's going to hopefully have the same feel that you got in 1993 watching the first one.
Yeah. Oh, it's absolutely mad.
That's an amazing first film to watch at the cinema, by the way. That's very lucky.
I had a lot of uncles and it was their job to bring me to the cinema, so it was like, yeah, this is what we're going to see. They didn't care if it was going to scare the absolute crap out of me.
Same here. Scared the crap out of me.
I see that the new Pixar movie, Elio, has been a big flop at the box office. With this in mind, and I think I know the answer to this at all, like, are we going to start seeing fewer original movies and more sequels?
I would say it's going to be that the sequels are going to be the tentpole movies, the big budget stuff. And the original movies are going to be the smaller things, the things that can afford to make less money but still turn a profit. That's why horror has done really well the past few years. You've got Long Legs and the first Megan. And I'm trying to think of something else, maybe Barbarian, that films that have done really well because their budget is so small, they don't have to break the bank. They don't have to go crazy big. So yeah, it'll probably be franchise films are the big ones, and then the smaller films are going to be original.
This is mad. Like, it's just never the way that I thought it would be skewed or looked at. But I think even if you could expand this out of movies and into nearly the music industry as well, because there's so many, you know, like reunions happening.
Exactly.
And everybody gets excited and they'll throw their money at them again because you know it works.
Nostalgia is a big selling point. Yes.
It is key. Now, the main reason that you're here is to tell us about the big sequels that are coming out in the second half of 2025. What have you got for us first?
Well, we'll start off with Jurassic Park.
Thank you.
Rebirth, which is out this week. I haven't seen it yet, but it's actually doing quite well, much better critic-wise than the previous films. And as I said, it's shot on 35mm.
Yeah.
I think it's going to look great. It's Gareth Edwards, and Gareth Edwards made my favourite of the new Star Wars film, Rogue One. So I have high hopes for that one. Hopefully it's going to bring back that vibe of the 1993 vibe, you know.
I really like when we have this much confidence from a movie buff like yourself to be like, yeah, I think this is going to be great.
Yes, and I haven't even seen it. I will probably be eating my words next week, but I'm excited about it. I'm going to see it this Friday.
Have you got any other ones for us?
In August we have Nobody 2 with Bob Odenkirk.
Okay.
The first one was kind of like a surprise hit. It's kind of like John Wick, except if it was a regular looking guy, you know. He's just some guy. He's just some dad.
Just some lad.
He's just some dad who happens to be an ex-government assassin.
Okay.
And it was a big hit. You know, people love Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the audience were brought to it because of Bob Odenkirk. And it looks fun. I watched the trailer and it looks fun. He tries to go on a vacation with his family and he gets caught up with a load of criminals.
Love it. We love when this happens. You know, they try to do the normal everyday thing and then it just goes skew ways and we're like, yes, we're in.
Yes.
Have you got anything else for us?
Downton Abbey, which you're a fan of.
Yes.
Now, my other job in RTE is promos, and I've only recently gotten into Downton Abbey because they've just dropped the whole season, all seasons on the player. And I can see the appeal now. It's kind of really cozy.
This is it. Mm. It's just, I always found Downton was kind of a nice warm hug as you were watching it. And it was very like stiff upper lip and, you know, the different class systems. Yeah. And you could fall in love with individual characters. And it was just this like, these grand houses and, you know, watching it start, you can tell how much I actually love it.
Yeah, totally. You're welling up here.
I can't wait for the next movie. Yeah. It was,
And it feels like it's a big event for the fans.
Yeah.
Kind of similar to like when a Bridget Jones film comes out or Mamma Mia. It's like everyone gets together and it's a big social event.
Yeah.
And that's what seems to happen with the last two anyway.
I think what seems to be always really interesting is, because I've always gone to see the movies in the cinema, is the age range in the cinema is so funny because you've every single age of people going to see it and people go to see it with family members that they've watched the show with and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Kind of reminds me, and not at all in the same vein, but Sex and the City, we won't talk about the Sex and the City movies, but off the back of the show being such a success, the, you know, the age range of people that went to see that when it came out too.
It makes sense because TV kind of speaks to everyone and that's why you don't have this very niche little group of people. It's everyone. It's in everyone's homes, so everyone is likely to be a fan.
Which is why we can talk about it on the radio, because there's definitely something that is for everyone in this one. Have you got anything else there, Ben?
I'm looking forward to the Black Phone 2. I'm a big horror fan. I love the first Black Phone.
I can tell you're a huge horror fan.
Really?
Yeah.
I give off that vibe, don't I? Yeah.
It's just everything you've gone through. You're like, yeah, I know, I'm really into this.
Yeah. Forget about Downton Abbey. Black Phone 2 is where it's at. Black Phone 2 is, this feels like the start of a proper new horror franchise, because we have Ethan Hawke and he's back as the Grabber, who's the villain from Black Phone 1, and he seems to have taken on kind of like a Freddy Krueger supernatural kind of, I don't know, power.
Yeah.
And it's also directed by it's written by Joe Hill, based on a short story by him. He's the son of Stephen King, so it very much feels like the next generation of horror coming up here.
Would you see this as like it's not going to end at the second one?
If this makes money, and it probably will, because again, I bet it has a pretty small budget.
Yeah.
They don't need to make that much to make a profit. So yeah, there's probably going to be a few of these films.
Amazing. Thank you so much for all of that, Bren. So much in there. And I think we kind of like hit the nail on the head with the nostalgia thing, is that kind of brings everybody back in again.
Yeah.
It looks like you are going to be a very busy man for the rest of the year. And thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Pleasure. Thank you.
2FM Mornings
with Laura Fox.
Podcast.
Sponsored by Maxall. From kids' lunches to tonight's dinner, you'll find bags more to get you through the week at Maxall.